Good morning, everyone. Trust you had a good week. I've been hearing really good things about kids getting back into school and things are going fairly well. I think the kids were missing their friends at school, so they were really excited to get back. Okay. We'll pray first and then I'll read a little portion of scripture after that. So let's just pray. Lord, we thank you for just giving us a great week. I know there was a level of stress and anxiety going into this week, and so we just give you thanks for helping all the families get their kids back in school and for our schools that have been so well organized. And Lord, as we turn to your word, I pray that you open our eyes and our hearts to your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, did I leave my phone over there? Yeah, I'm super organized this morning. I turned the slides using my phone. So, if it works. If you could turn to Romans chapter 13. And I'll read verses 1 to 7. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath, to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. Verse 6. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, who gave their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Okay. Well, we might have to abandon that part, but we'll get you guys to turn the slides as we go. Yeah, it'll come up in a bit. So, you know, a few years ago, I was coming home from Grand Prairie, and I was in the Costco area, and I was taking that back road home. You probably know what I mean, that back road Costco road home. And just past the Claremont landfill site, I just felt like going a different way home because I live in Sacksmith. And I looked behind me and I noticed the blue and white flashing lights behind me. Yay, yay, yay. And in fact, just my son was with me and he's the one that said, "Me, you might want to look behind you." So there you go. Now, I don't remember how fast I was going. I mean, do we ever, right? You know, I don't know. But the police officer did tell me that, yeah, I was speeding. And I didn't argue or protest. I learned years ago you don't do that because, you know, if you really want to get away with a warning, then just shut up and listen and obey, right? And but that didn't happen. I got a fine, although he indicated that my fine was less than what would have been normal. And he was kind to me. So $70, that's, I think it's a bargain these days, right? Yeah, $70 is pretty cheap. And then each summer, if you own property or a home, you usually get an invoice from the city or from the town or whatever civic authority you're under to pay your annual taxes, don't you, right? It's always a lovely day when that comes in the mail. And the federal and provincial governments have their piece as well. They bill you, they invoice you, however they do it, through your income taxes. And we're super happy about it, aren't we? No? Come on, it's a good day when you're, Andre likes taxes. That's absolutely, no, probably not. Not any of us get overjoyed about, paying speeding tickets and paying our dues and our taxes that come year by year, especially when the taxes go up just a little bit and an extra frown comes to our faces. Well, in each of these scenarios, we have an obligation to submit to those in authority, those who are authorities over us, whether it be paying taxes, your civic authorities, your whatever town authorities, and also paying attention to the traffic laws, as in how fast you're going in my case. But these days, when you talk about government authorities, particularly police who are in the news these days, many people have grown cynical of government. This is nothing new. It just comes in waves through history. And as you well know, George Floyd died by the hands of the police who are supposed to serve and protect in Minneapolis. And the cynicism has escalated from episodes like that. And it's turned into hatred and violence and looting, and even, as you know, calls to defund the police. So that's why many people, when you read Romans chapter 13 about submitting to human authorities, it's very difficult for some people to process. And so I just thought I'd maybe talk about it a little bit. In fact, many people around the world take it for granted that governments are just simply corrupt and can't be trusted, okay? We're actually in a happy spot in the world compared to many countries. And many Christians, they grow up in totalitarian governments and regimes, and so they basically have a fairly negative view of government, right? And so for the most part, that was not my experience, and maybe it wasn't your experience. I grew up as a missionary kid in Japan, and the police were generally friendly. In fact, they set up, in cities, they set up what they call kobans, or police boxes, in neighborhoods. They actually have offices and on the corners, and they're just kind of out in the public. And for the most part, their relationship with their neighborhoods was one of trust. You went to them for help. And school children said good morning to the cops, and the cops said good morning back to the children. It's just the way it was. I'm talking the 1970s and 80s and stuff like that, but that's the way it was for me. So for me, this passage never really was a problem. I just read it. Yeah, that's the way it goes, right? But when Paul wrote these words, the Roman government was a dictatorship. You know, it's just the way it was. It was a dictatorship, run more like Iran or how North Korea is run today. Okay, maybe not a fair comparison, but more like that. In fact, as time wore on, the Roman government grew tired of Christians. And it was already happening in biblical times, in the early church times. And eventually, you probably know the stories how the Christians were fed to lions and burned at the stake. They were persecuted because of the conflict that went with government and being Christian. And yet you still have this teaching in Romans chapter 13. Be subject to the governing authorities. So this is teaching from Romans chapter 13 and also found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 to 17, which is remarkably similar. And so these are what I call general statements, general truths about respecting authorities. And they don't just talk about, Paul and Peter don't just talk about government authorities, but they also talk about submitting yourself to your masters. In other words, your boss at work, right? And other human authorities. Now, there are exceptions, of course, and we will get into that in a little bit. But why did Paul need to say to the church, because he's talking to the church, be subject to your governing authorities? Was there a reason behind it? Was there an issue? Well, there probably was. During the time of the early church, the Roman emperor regarded himself as Lord and Savior. He would use that same lingo. And in fact, he would view himself as divine. Caesar ruled with an iron fist. But for Christians, they regarded Jesus as the true king. This is what Messiah means, the anointed one, the king. Jesus is the king, they declared. And he has authority over every authority. That's Romans chapter 14, verse 1. And then Paul taught from Romans chapter 12, and he says, do not conform to the pattern of this world. So if you get in the mind of the average Christian living in Roman times, they're thinking world. Well, that means the worldly system of the Roman Empire type of idea, right? So what happened, as far as we know, some enthusiastic Christians took this too far, and some wanted to overthrow the government. And throughout history, we've had cases where people tried to do this. They wanted to overthrow the government. And so Christians, they believed in a new age. They believed in the new age of the kingdom of God. They believed their true king has come in Jesus Christ, and rightly so. But some went overboard, believing that everything in the world was simply unjust and under judgment. And so, for example, some people believed it was no longer right to be married in the new kingdom of God. But they're rushing things, aren't they? Because, of course, Scripture does say that we will not be given in marriage anymore in heaven. But they're rushing things. And then they went on to say that that sex was of the world, encouraged Christians not to marry and to abstain from sex. And so these were viewed as worldly things, right? And so you throw government in there as well. So they believed that governments were under God's judgment and needed to be removed. And because they regarded human governments as evil, they did not think it necessary to obey the government. So it was a teaching that went overboard. But when I'm studying this material, I think to myself, does this sound familiar? Right? I'm not saying it's coming from the Christian culture, but in society. So as the expression goes, there is nothing new under the sun. What's happening today has happened before. People tend to rebel against authorities when they do not like what is happening. People want to dump on governments today just as they did during the days of the early church. Jesus Christ is sovereign. He is sovereign over all kings and rulers and authorities. But does that mean that human governments do not have a place right now? Are they all evil? So what does Romans chapter 13, verses 1 to 7 have to say about this? Well, first of all, you guys can switch slides there. First slide is human governments have a place under God. Human governments have a place under God. Okay? You guys got that? Okay. Let me read verse 1. Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. So who are the governing authorities? They refer to anyone who represents the power of the state. Everyone from, local governments to officials, all the way down to the president or the prime minister, or up to the prime minister or president, as some countries call them, like the states or kings in other countries. And what are we obligated to do? Well, it says we must submit and be subject to governing authorities. This means more than just obey them, but the word actually submit also means stand under governing authorities, because these authorities have been established by God. And that's a very key line here in this verse. They have been established by God. Now, this is nothing new. This has been taught in the Old Testament as well. So another great story. Speaking of great stories, Esther's a great story, but Daniel is another great story. But you learn a lot from that story. And so Daniel tells King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, the Most High, he's referring to God, Yahweh, is sovereign over all kingdoms on earth and gives them to anyone he wishes and sets over them the lowliest of people. And so Daniel is saying, listen, King Nebuchadnezzar, I don't know who you think you are, but don't forget, I give you authority to rule. And so like King Nebuchadnezzar, human authorities or citizens may not even recognize God's sovereignty and authority over them, right? So there's many, many secular countries that they don't really regard this as truth to them. But there is a God who has authority over them and gives them that authority to rule. And so they have a place to govern under God's authority. But because human authorities such as the premier or the police or even Alberta Health Services, which is another current issue today, they're all under God's authority, actually, whether they recognize it or not. And so therefore, we as Christians are obligated to stand under their authority because of God's authority over them, okay? And so we owe them respect because God has placed them there. And so some members of the early church tried to purify, tried to justify, would you like my phone? Oh, okay. Would like to justify the elimination of government authorities because of their faith in Christ. Excuse me as we do a little business here. Okay. So Paul is saying we as Christians must recognize that God has put human authorities in places of authority for a very good reason. Yes, God's new kingdom has arrived in Jesus Christ, but it doesn't end the role of the authority of human leaders and authorities in our day. So, for most people, that's a given. That's just understood. But for some people, it's a struggle for them. Thank you. Secondly, if we resist human authorities, we are working against God. So let me read a couple more verses here. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong. Do you want to be free from the fear of one in authority? So Paul is challenging Christians who think they have the right to rebel against the government authorities. You see, our obedience to the laws of the land are set out by the government is for our own good, okay, for the most part. And we may not like sometimes how stringent, maybe, or how strict certain rules may be sometimes. We may not like how slow the speed limits are. I have to admit, that road back there I was talking about, I kind of grumbled about that to my son. These speed limits are too low, goodness sakes. You know, we got modern cars, they're safe, blah, 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 right? But, you know, we may not like a lot of things, but that's irrelevant. It's irrelevant here. I drove faster than posted speed limit and I got what I deserve. The point is not about what issue we might have about a certain law or bylaw, but about who, right? It's about who. Who is under your authority, right? So we fall under the authority of the local governments who receive their authority from God, whether they realize it or not. You know, if I drive like a maniac and I thumb my nose at the cops as I blow by at 130 kilometers per hour. I'm not only rebelling against government, I'm actually working against God, right? So Paul's tying the two together here. And we get upset about bylaws and highway laws and the like. And we might even have good reasons, actually, to disagree with certain laws. And I think we're, you know, we have to remind ourselves something. We are actually fortunate to live in a country like Canada where you actually have the freedom to challenge laws, right? And bylaws to make laws better, right? That's kind of a built-in mechanism. It might take forever and a day, okay? You know, just be honest. But under Roman law, if you want to park yourself 2,000 years ago, you didn't really have much choice, right? But in general, Paul's point is very clear here. If you rebel against human authorities, you rebel against God because human authorities are ordained by God. They are there for a good reason. So let's talk about the tax issue because Paul brings this up as well. Suppose a person decides he will not pay taxes this year on the grounds that he does not belong to the world, but he is a citizen of heaven. I'm not sure if you've ever tried that before, you know, in your income tax. It's kind of right in the small margin. By the way, I'm a citizen of heaven, and I don't owe you nothing, right? Try that before? And all we do, we're doing it because we just don't like the guy in, you know, in Sussex Drive. Right? Or the White House, or whatever, right? So, you say to the government, you're not the boss of me. I don't like how you spend my money. It's my money, you know? I don't like how you spend my money anyway. And so he decides to withhold his taxes. Is he right? Well, not according to Paul. Paying taxes is actually the one issue Paul deals with very specifically. And this verses 6 and 7 says, this is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone who you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. But then he adds this, he says, if revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. My goodness sakes. He says, don't just pay your taxes, but do it with respect. You go, whoa. And so Paul is teaching the opposite to what this person in this hypothetical situation is thinking. Because we are free, that means free under Christ, citizens of heaven who belong to the kingdom of God, we actually are obligated to obey human authority. So it's backwards to what sometimes people think. It is because you are citizens of heaven that you should obey your governing authorities. This is what the kingdom of God people do. They still submit to human authorities. And so we are obligated to pay taxes, to show government authorities the proper respect and honor. Okay? Thirdly, governing authorities are God's servants for our good. Let me read the next few verses here. Then do what is right and you will be commended. For the one in authority is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for rulers do not bear the sword for no reason. They are God's servants, agents of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. So, governments have the God-given role both to punish and honor those who do good in society. They have a very important role. So, you know, we can't, when someone does evil, we can't personally punish people and take it into our own hands. This is why we have governments. And so governments exist for the better good of society. This is just kind of a minor illustration here, but the other day I got a call from our neighbor church, United Church here, and they said that there was vandalism happening on their roof. And they called me because apparently someone had pulled our garbage bin and pulled it alongside their lower roof line, crawled up on their roof, and started vandalizing their vents and things on their roof, you know. And so they just asked us to take our garbage can in. I just locked it up. But someone called the police, the authorities, and they agreed to do drive-arounds in the evenings or whenever to make sure it doesn't happen again. Now, of course, we're not sure if they'll ever catch the vandals, but if they do, these authorities have the God-given role to punish the wrongdoers and protect the neighborhood, right? So that's just a little illustration on the good that they do for our neighborhood and our society. It is good for everyone. It's good for us. It gives us protection. But actually, it's good for the vandals too, right? Because if they get busted, then, right, you think, you know, they'll learn next time not to do something foolish like that. Now, the very end of the verse, it says, submitting to our authorities is a matter of conscience. And I underlined it at the very end here. And so, what does that mean? As Christians, we don't just submit to governing authorities because we fear getting punished. That's a, you know, that's a motive there, but it's a weak motive, right? We don't obey, you know, so we don't get punished. If we do wrong, we get what we deserve. But there's a greater reason for us to obey as Christians. We obey as a matter of conscience. What does this mean? It refers to the Christian understanding of God's will and purpose. It's a conviction. What is his will in this situation with governing authorities? Secular authorities have been established by God. That's a Christian understanding. They are God's servants. Because of whom they are, because of the role they have been given, under the authority of God, the authority that God gives them, we as Christians should submit to their authority, respect them, honor them. God, in fact, uses governments to establish his purposes. That's what Paul's talking about. You're doing this out of your conscience. That's a Christian conscience conviction you should have in your heart. Well, maybe you have a question. And of course it's going to come. Are we obligated to obey governing authorities in everything without question? Right? So let's pray about it and go home now. Now, honestly, I don't have time to go deep here because you could throw a situation and we could have a nice case study here and be here for a whole afternoon, okay? But let me say a few things, okay? According to biblical scholar Dr. Douglas Moo on this passage, submission to government here is not strict and universal obedience. As Romans 13 has been saying, submission means we must recognize the place that God has given human authorities to bring order in this world. So in most cases, the submission does mean obeying what governments ask of us. But at the same time, it doesn't mean that God has given governments absolute rights over us Because just as we stand under God's authority, so does government and all authorities. So they're accountable to God as well, whether they recognize it or not. So let me give you an illustration, well, a true story from Acts chapter 5. So the Apostle Peter, and this is the, you know, newly found established early church, and Peter's out preaching the good news about Jesus as the Messiah. But Peter is being challenged by his religious authorities not to speak in the name of Jesus. But then Peter says this famous line, "We must obey God rather than human beings." The church is not obligated to obey human authorities on this issue, that's proclaiming the name of Jesus, because God has the ultimate authority and has given the church the authority to preach the good news of Jesus to the world. Okay? And so this supersedes things. Now, does this mean we're justified in getting all mad and getting into people's faces about the gospel of Jesus Christ? No, of course not. It doesn't justify our behavior in the way we present the gospel. So 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who gives you, who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect." And so if you read the story of Peter, he was being forthright with his religious authorities, but he wasn't being disrespectful. A few paragraphs earlier, in 1 Peter chapter 2, I have the text for you, when Peter was talking about submitting to authorities as well, this is a very similar passage, he says this, "Live as free people, but do not use your freedom to cover up for evil." And so what he means by free people is that we are free under the reign of Jesus Christ. And so we are, you know, we live under different marching orders. But he says, look, don't use that freedom to cover up for evil. Don't use it to justify things and like your behavior in public. Because he's specifically talking about our witness in the world here in this context. Live as slaves of God. You have to obey God's authority and his commands. Show respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. And then he tacks this on. Honor the emperor. You go, what? Interesting. And so he's definitely trying to show us that even though you are Christian, that you regard God as your king, and he is supreme, sovereign king over all authorities in the world, that does not give you the justification to act foolishly in the world. In fact, to act respectfully and honor your authorities like the emperor, right? And if you did a little study on the emperor, they weren't exactly the most moral, fair people in the world. Okay? So, I mean, we can go on and on, but let me just wrap this up. Sometimes what the government requires of us is controversial. Okay? Very controversial. And it can conflict with our biblical moral standards. And so this is where the church has to be strong in their convictions about certain things. And so we don't have time to talk about things like your sexual identity, but that is a hot issue right now, of course, and such. Now, COVID-19 has created what I would say lots of room for debate on issues of public health, right? And I think we should be glad that we live in a country where there is room for debate, okay? So let's be happy about that. But still, let's remember our governing authorities and what they're trying to do. I'm not going to give you any definitive answers on COVID-19, but just let's just not forget what we have heard for sure today. So as a matter of conscience, God's will for us is to be subject to our governing authorities. For the most part, I think, this is my personal opinion, but I think that the Alberta government has our best in mind through COVID-19. That's my personal opinion. They have our best in mind. We may not agree with everything, but whoever does, right, on these things. Our Christian response is still to obey, respect, and honor them. Not say, I disagree with that, and then do the opposite. For Christians, I think that's not right. This has not been an easy time, actually, for government officials. And of course, you know that government officials have names. They're Bobs and Sallys and Michaels, and they're people, is what I'm trying to say, right? And so it hasn't been easy for them either. And having said this, we do have the freedom to ask questions, right? We have that in Canada. And say, sir, what do you mean by that? And they can be challenged respectfully. There is room for debate in this country. There's room for questioning, absolutely. And we should be glad for it. And thankfully, good governments will listen. We recognize, some of us pastors have talked about this, we recognize kind of midstream in April or May, we noticed actually the governments were listening to churches, okay? They loosened things for us so we can get back together again. So they have listened. But we need to learn to question with respect and integrity. And I know we post things on Facebook, and I think even there as Christians, you have to be conscious of who you are in Jesus on Facebook. And when you badmouth government, I think it's wrong. I think we should still be respectful, even on Facebook. And if you treat them rudely, don't expect much. You bring judgment on yourself by your own poor character when you behave in a foolish, immature way on certain platforms. I believe that's what Romans 13 teaches us. Finally, let's go to the passage as I close here in 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 2. What does Paul tell us to do? He asks us to pray for those in authority. Wow. He urges us to pray for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. So it seems to me he's making a connection to the prayers of the church and peace in our land. I don't know. That's how I read it. And it seems to me, on the whole, from the Bible, God uses secular government authorities for his purposes too. So let's not forget that. So let's pray. Lord, we do pause to thank you for your sovereignty over all authorities. And help us, Lord, to be people of respect, recognizing that we are Christians first who have a public witness. And part of that witness is respecting authorities that you have given to us. It looks very bad on us if we can't even do that. If we're known as the church who is beating up on authorities for no good reasons. And maybe we have good reasons, and yet the way we complain and our attitudes are poor, forgive us for that, Lord. And may we be people of integrity, not afraid to speak out, but yet people who maintain our integrity and faith in you. And so give us your wisdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.